Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. It's a Tuesday Throwdown, and this is the show that keeps getting loaded. And boy, I'm so blessed to produce this for years. It is the American Sports History Podcast coming out of Cleveland, Ohio. A brother, a mentor, and a friend, Peter Ray. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, Los Angeles, 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, 30 minutes goes by quick. We understand that. blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcast, powered down by Mancini Media. As I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, the threes. Peter, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? And you're bringing a great guest in here like you usually do.
Hi, Mark. I'm doing well. I have a YouTube channel. It's my name, Peter J. Rea. You're absolutely right. Tonight's guest was a Major League Baseball relief pitcher from 2003 to 2006 with the Houston Astros. He won a National League championship in 2005 with the Houston Astros and pitched in the World Series. He played for Team Italy on the 2006 World Baseball Classic. Welcome to the show, Mr. Mike Gallo.
Hey, pleasure to be here, man. I'm pumped up, man. Baseball season's around the corner, and I'm living in the hotbed of Ohtani land, and, man, there's drama going on down here, bro.
So you won a National League championship of what they used to call the pennant. I don't know if they call that anymore, but with the 2005 Houston Astros, you pitched in the World Series. You want to talk about that first?
Yeah. The National League pennant belongs to the 2005 Astros. Man, it was a dream come true. You know, it was pretty much my third year in the league. Well, roughly second year. And, you know, I was pumped up to as being a left-handed specialist, being the only lefty in the bullpen at that time. And my job was strictly to come in and, you know, relieve Roger Clemens in the sixth inning if he's got guys on base. If there's a stat that I would love someone to look up, how many inherited runners did I save from scoring for Roger Clemens? And to me, I took pride in that because, you know, the guy's a Hall of Famer in my book. And I took pride in, you know, one of those jobs of not letting run score if I came in and inherited those guys. And, you know, it was a dream come true to go through a playoff stretch and then get to the World Series and freeze my butt off in Chicago. I'll never forget how cold it was. I'm like, this is bullshit. Excuse my crap. I mean, it's crazy. It's too cold down here. But we had a good heater in the bullpen, and I did my job. I came in. I faced A.J. Brzezinski twice, situational, of course. Got him to ground out because Brad Auschwitz, my catcher, you know, smart, very smart catcher, and had a pleasure throwing the baseball to him. He said, hey, just throw a two-seamer in and he'll roll it over. And just like clockwork, he did. And I pretty much owned A.J. Brzezinski, I could say. And then Joe Crudy I faced once, the third baseman at that time, pretty good hitter. I just threw a sinker away and he grounded out himself. And, you know, that was it. I mean, it was situational, but it was really – really, really a dream come true to pitch at that level. But I'll tell you right now, I had just as much fun pitching the College World Series in 1998 with Long Beach State. That was fun.
You want to talk about that?
Yeah, no worries. I mean, I got the butterflies out pitching in front of a bunch of people and ESPN back in 98. We got to go to Omaha I believe we were the eighth seed or seventh seed going into Omaha. And, you know, we had the three Florida schools, Miami, Florida, and Florida State were seeded 1, 2, and 3. And Pat the Bat Burrell was on Miami. He was a first-round draft pick at that time. And we matched up with Miami the first time. And I was a starting pitcher going into that World Series. I got hot towards the end. And so I was the number one guy for Long Beach State on the mound. And, you know, basically, first time I faced Pat Burrell, I threw up my fourth best pitch was a changeup. It was a BP fastball to him. And he hit a solo shot over the Rosenblatt Stadium, and long story short, he got a home run off me, and then I faced him the next time and basically owned him and struck him out at second at bat. But nobody saw that. So overall, you know, it was fun. You know, we got knocked out, but we were in the Final Four with Long Beach State, and it was a lot of fun.
Now, 2003 was your first year in MLB, and you want to talk about your first manager, Jimmy Williams.
Yes. Jimmy Williams was our manager, and he got fired halfway through the year. You know, my rookie year, I had Jimmy Williams in 03, and, you know, God bless his soul. I know he passed away recently. He was just, you know, he was a part of the history of baseball. He was a, he just, the guy was a great guy. And overall, when I got called up, the one thing he said to me is like, look, I don't know too much about you, Mike, but, you know, you being left-handed, do you have a problem if I call a pickoff play to first base three times in a row? I said, no. And then he goes, what about four times? I said, no. He goes, and I just stopped him right there, and I said, Coach, you can tell me to pick over five times. I'm in the big leagues. I want to win. And I just gave him that speech. I'm like, you can tell me what to do, and I'll do it. And just let me know. I want to help the team win. And that's the kind of manager he was. And he kept things loose. And unfortunately, he got let go during that 1 year. And let's see, what was it, 04? I believe it was 04 he got let go. But, you know, and then Phil Gardner became our manager, and he ran the show and then got us to the World Series in 05. So, yeah, it was cool.
Now, some of the coaches that stick out for me as a fan from the 70s, in 2003, Jose Cruz, what do you remember about him?
Oh, just a great guy, character. He was our first base coach during the time I was there. And Cheo was just, he's a celebrity there. He Astrodome star, and, you know, the fans really loved him. And it was a really good situation to have him on the staff, and he kept things loose. I mean, he's a world-class guy. Never had a problem with him. But then I was a pitcher, but, you know, he always gave props to the pitchers when they did their job.
And your first MLB pitching coach, Bert Hooten.
Oh yeah, Bert Hooten. Bert Hooten was just a Texan, and he always had stories to tell. And when we were hanging out in the bullpen or whatever it was in the dugout, I mean, Bert was just a big encyclopedia of baseball, and basically just a guy that knew how to throw the ball, and he was just kept things simple as a pitching coach. He just kept it real simple and, you know, made you feel real comfortable at the big league level, you know, and that's what you need as a rookie when you first get up there, is having a good coach can make everything nice and simple and easy and all that good stuff.
Okay, your teammates, Brad Ausmus.
Yes. Yes, with Brad?
Yeah, what do you remember about Brad Ausmus?
Oh, well, Brad, you know, Brad graduated from Dartmouth. And I'm sorry, I put you on speaker, but long story short, I'm just getting distracted a little bit because my daughter's blowing me up on my phone, but I apologize. But overall, Brad went to Dartmouth, and, you know, knowing Brad, you just didn't shake him. You didn't want to shake him if he called a pitch. You know, that's the thing that you learn right away with him is just basically, hey, you know, when he puts down a sign, you trust it. And, you know, he kept things simple as well, you know. Don't get too crazy. Keep your emotions in check, you know. And with me being a high-energy guy, it got to the point where, I needed that help sometimes. And you know, the one time I did shake him was my rookie year where I'm facing Sean Green against the Dodgers. And never faced him before. And Brad didn't really know I had a curveball. And I got Sean down quickly 0-2 or 1-2, and I kept shaking him. And at the time, I was like, let me show him my curveball. And I had a little 12-6 curveball. And he finally pumped down the sign, and he kind of tilted his head to the side like, come on, Rook, you're really going to shake me to this? So I threw a good curveball, and Sean looked at it for strike three. And he got in the dugout. He's like, look, I don't mind your curveball. I don't mind you shaking me. It was good, you know. But, you know, he's good at hitting hanging curveballs, and that kind of hung up there. You just surprised him. I said, well, yeah, I mean, I want to see what's going on. I don't want to look too much into it. I felt confident in the pitch. He's like, all right, well, look, moving forward, if you feel really confident about a pitch, and I really feel confident about a pitch, just trust me. But if you got a problem, just call timeout and talk to me. And I said, okay. So at that point, I said, okay, we're going to move on. I'm not going to shake you anymore. Sounds like too much of an issue.
Okay. Okay, continuing go ahead.
No, that's cool. Yeah. But, I mean, like I said, I was blessed to be around Billy Wagner when he was one of our closers and you know, the closer, I should say. And I it was a trip going up to the big leagues and playing as a rookie. You got to play catch with the flamethrower Billy Wagner. And I'll never forget, they were all laughing at me, and he was gassing me up from 30 feet away. And but I'm just trying to think back. I'm just trying to think back to back when I was working out with him. He was really trying to see if he can break my glove, I think, every time I tried to play catch. And so that's one thing I remember about Billy. And, you know, it, obviously Clemens and Pettit, having those guys on the staff. Pettit always tried to work with me on the move to, you know, the first base. Andy Pettit had a really good move to first base. And, you know, I try to mimic him a little bit, but he's 6'4", 6'5", and I'm 5'11", and I say that I'm 6 feet tall, but it didn't really work out that well. But bottom line, that a decent move, but Andy Pettit had a really good pickoff move.
Okay, Jeff Bagwell, what do you remember about him?
Yeah, Bagwell, I mean, just a veteran that you just, when you got in the clubhouse, he was a guy that you could always say hi to, and he just was like, you know, hey, you know, let's go to work, let's go to battle and have a good time. And, you know, but basically he was a guy that you just were in awe of when you, as a rookie, and you get in the clubhouse and you see him in the training room and he's getting his work done and pregame, and just like with Biggio as well. Biggio and Bagwell, you know, obviously they played together for a long time. They just basically, there's a reason why those guys stuck around the big leagues all this time, and there's a reason why they're in the Hall of Fame. It's just, you know, you try as a rookie to watch these guys work, and, you know, if they don't work hard, you're not going to stick around. So that's exactly what I, you know, basically what I took from it. But I was just truly blessed as a rookie, even seeing Lance Berkman come in the clubhouse as a young power hitter. And I could see that guy showing up 20 minutes before batting practice, and he's out there hitting in batting practice, and he's hitting bombs over the fence. And I'm like, geez, this guy just can wake up and go to swing it, you know? So I was truly at a time of baseball where steroids was leaving, and, you know, people, if they were using, they had to quit using them. And that's where, you know, I enjoyed the game, because except for a couple guys that were still getting busted with their roids, but, you know, it was interesting.
Another teammate, Jeff Kent.
Jeff Kent, I'll tell you right now, in between the lines, you want him on your team, because, you know, he goes to war. As soon as that first pitch is thrown, he wants to win, and he wants to beat you down. And even if you're a pitcher, you know, I remember times where they called timeout and I had to basically, you know, have maybe a coach come out and talk to me because they did a pinch hitter. Kent would come out and just say, hey, I know this guy, he swings first pitch. He'd give his own little report on basically, it's like a little scouting report. So he was quick to do that.
Okay, another teammate, Lance Berkman. There, Mike Gallo. We're talking with Mike Gallo, who pitched from 2003 to 2006 with the Houston Astros. He was a relief pitcher. Went to the World Series in 2005 with the Astros. There, Mr. Gallo? Oh, okay. Well, hopefully he'll come back. Yeah, I really enjoyed talking with him. He has such a good spirit, very good attitude. Very joyful, and I know he has a wonderful family as well, wife and children. He's involved with his children's sports, and that's why I wanted to have a wonderful personality. Got to the World Series, so that's really something. Hello, Mr. Gallo, are you there? No, well, I guess he said his daughter was trying to talk with him about something. He has a young children. So anyway, hopefully we'll get him back here. We had a couple comments. Let's see, Joey from Bucks County was talking about the Astros, and Danny from Bellevue, Washington was talking about this Shohei Ohtani. It was this the tremendous pitcher and home run hitter, signed a big contract, I think, with Dodgers maybe, I think so. Not many teams have the big bucks, so hopefully we'll get Mike Gallo back here. Interesting guy, good guy. Are you there, Mr. Mike Gallo? Doesn't sound like it. So we'll just, if any other comments, you're welcome to folks out there. Next week we're going to have Bill North back, tremendous MLB center fielder in the 1970s, most notably with the Oakland A's. He's going to have this year is the 40th anniversary of the 74 World Series championship, their third in a row, that he played an important role. So that'll be fun having him on again next week, 39th time. Mr. Mike Gallo, are you there? No, we'll keep waiting. Okay, yeah, we're going through this. Yeah, Mike Gallo was a relief pitcher. Yeah, and he got into, in 2004, he got in like 69 games, pitched a lot. So as he said earlier, got in the World Series, pitched a couple innings, did well. Yeah, 69 games in 2004 was with Phil Garner, a teammate of Bill North, who replaced Dick Green on. You know, the strange thing is Dick Green was almost the MVP of the Mr. Gallo. Mike Gallo, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
All right, yeah, I'm sorry about that. I had to pick up my daughter from her soccer game. She scored a couple goals, and
oh.
I was relaying. Yeah, but we're good now. We're good to go.
You're a busy man. Got a lot of multitasking.
I never played soccer in my life, but I ended up coaching a little bit after my baseball playing career. And being a coach of soccer, I learned a lot of things, let me tell you.
You know, what's funny is I was just talking about how 1974, Dick Green was almost the MVP of the World Series. And then the A's let him go because he didn't hit. And the next year, because they had a hot prospect coming up from the minors, Phil Garner, and he never talked about taking the MVP, almost MVP job, World Series MVP job on the Oakland A's. He never brought that up.
Oh, nope. All I know is Scrap Iron got his name. Scrap Iron got his name for the way he played the game. And you know, I saw his fire in him when he was our manager, and he helped us get to the postseason and win. And I know he didn't. There was a game I'll never forget. We're playing the Cardinals, and so this was probably game six. No, game five. This is the infamous Brad Lidge throws 96, but he keeps throwing sliders that hang to Albert Pujols, and Pujols hit a ball over the train tracks to force a game six. We were like one out away of going to our first ever World Series in the state of Texas between the Rangers and Astros, and all of Houston was on their feet, and we had one out to go, and Pujols hit the home run to go ahead and going down 1-2-3 in the ninth or whatever. But Gardner's going back to the clubhouse, and I could hear him going, I can't believe we got to go back to St. Louis. And he was pretty pissed, and I heard a door slam, and I'm like, uh-oh, here we go. And Roy Oswalt came out in game six and shoved it and got us to the World Series, and I'll never forget how pumped up he was. So he coached on emotion, and then the players fed off it, so it was pretty cool.
Any more thoughts on Lance Berkman?
Yeah, like I said about Lance, one of the most purest hitters I can possibly imagine. If I ever had to face him, it would be very tough to get him out. Lance was just the nicest guy. Obviously, I believe he's from the state of Texas, playing in your home state. Obviously, something really cool. And teammate wise, really cool. I never saw him drink, smoke, or say a curse word. He was just a straight dude that went out and loved the game of baseball, and basically, you know, like I said, I mean, just an athlete. He, you know, the Astros put him at third. They could put him at first. He could play the outfield, and you know, just a true big leaguer. And you know, I hope to see him in the Hall of Fame. I don't know what his numbers look like, but you know, he's done some damage in baseball and did well.
You pitched in 69 games in 2004. Was that too hard on you?
Nope. I got ready 2003, adjusted to the bullpen. I got drafted as a starter. I was a fifth-round draft pick at Long Beach State as a starter. And then as I went through these long seasons going, you know, minor league seasons are about 142 games. They run from, you know, roughly April to Labor Day, and that's it. You know, I basically went from starting to long relief to then maybe an inning or two every other day. And the Astros did a really good job of getting me ready for whatever job they wanted to put me in the big leagues. Cause you know, what I did in Double A and Triple A was pretty quick, but I got used to the role pretty quick and had a lot of success. That's why they ended up putting me in the big leagues. But I just remember, you know, basically knowing my body, knowing what I can do, what I couldn't do. And if you're coming in to face one hitter, two hitters, now in the big leagues, let me go back to this, that they changed the rule now. My job's kind of obsolete now. You got to face at least three hitters now when you're in the big leagues before you can get taken out. You can't just come in and face one hitter anymore. So I'm sure you guys are aware of that. But, you know, it was truly a job that I embraced. I did miss facing the right-handers because, you know, I worked so hard on my changeup in the off season, and I wanted to prove that I could just be not just be a lefty specialist, because I, you know, you could kind of get pigeonholed into that. And, you know, if I go out and face one hitter and don't do my job, I got to carry that with me to the next outing. And it could be the next day, it could be 2 days later, but, you know, but one of those things that I did embrace. I would look at the lineups of the teams that I, you know, okay, what are they doing? We have a righty on the mound and they're stacking their lefties 3, 4, 5. Well, I would be licking my chops going, okay, I'm going to face Griffey. I'm going to face Larkin. I'm going to face Sean Casey, you know, whatever it may be. You get to know some of these big power hitter lefties that I have to come in and face possibly. And it was a lot of fun, you know. I mean, there was something I wish I could have contributed more than just being in these games and just facing one or two hitters at a time. But that was, at the time, that was the job. And they paid a lot of money to those guys that can do that. And, you know, but I remember in the off season, let's see, after 04, maybe it was 05, I went down to Venezuela and I just to play some winter ball. And I said, hey, I told the coach down there, I said, hey, Luis Soho was my coach. And I just said, hey, Louis, I want to be a starter. I don't want to just be a reliever. And I did. And so they end up starting, and I did well. But, you know, but overall, Major League Baseball just saw me as a bullpen guy and maybe just a left-handed specialty guy. And, you know, and then that's where I ended up finishing my career at 30 years old as just a left-handed specialty guy.
Okay, another teammate, Craig Biggio. What do you remember about him?
Biggio was a baller. Saw his work ethic as well. Obviously, I played with him late in his career, but you know, there's a reason why he's in the Hall of Fame. It's about how these athletes prepare each other every day for a game, and basically, it was a role model to see how this guy works and how you should be preparing yourself to get yourself ready for a Major League Baseball game. You know, a lot of these young kids that are playing the game today, I don't think they quite get it, what you do to get yourself ready for a game, whether it's pregame or it's workout, what you do at practice, you know, all this stuff. I mean, part of that is what makes you perform in these games. And you know, it was just a real true pleasure. And he was a nice, really nice guy to talk to, even though I was a pitcher. You know, a lot of these position players that I was around, you know, was just one of those situations where these guys talked to me just being a bullpen guy. But, you know, I'm an outgoing guy. I was talkative. I always said hi to everybody. And some guys would talk, some guys wouldn't. But Biggio was always really friendly. And, you know, and he's another guy that could play at any position. And, like I said, I was truly blessed to see play with a Hall of Famers and see them in action, per se. So I teach – what I do now is I give pitching lessons along with other daily jobs that I do. But, you know, I kind of take all the things that I saw and the work ethic of a lot of these players and, you know, basically just try and teach it, instill it in these young kids that are playing the game of baseball today. So I was really – like I said, I was blessed.
Okay, another guy, Jose Vizcaino.
Vizcaino. Didn't know I knew of Vizcaino. Jose – awesome guy, taught me some Spanish. He's another guy that could just sit on the bench, come off the bench, and get a game-winning hit. I mean, he tie the game up. I mean, he was a role player. He wouldn't play every day at that part of his career. But like I said, towards the end of his career, he became a premier pinch hitter for us with the Astros and in Major League Baseball. But, you know, I look back and in the postseason, he knows how to shine. And in one of the games against the White Sox, I believe he did get a big RBI or a big hit to help us out. And, you know, Jose was a baller as well. I mean, you're name dropping some really good guys that knew how to play the game and that were big, big parts of teams winning.
Okay, Greg Zahn.
Zahn could be like my brother. Zahn, I only got 1 year with Zahn, but his energy level was just like mine, very outgoing, very, very outspoken. He played the game like a dirtbag. If I could define a dirtbag, he plays the game and to the point where he will go to battle and go to war and sacrifice himself just to win a game. And, you know, coming from Long Beach State, the style of baseball that we played, he would fit right in that program, that how we teach the game of baseball. And basically, he's a guy that you would want to go to war with as well. Solid catcher as well. I only threw to him a couple times my rookie year, my rookie couple months, I should say, in 03. But Zahn, I still keep in touch on social media with. Good guy. If you ever need to talk to him, you let me know, and I can forward you some information there, too, because he's got a wealth of knowledge as well.
Greg Zahn, wow. Okay, how about Wade Miller?
Wade Miller, big, 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 big righty pitcher. I mean, Wade didn't talk too much, but, you know, like I said, pitchers kind of hang out with pitchers, and that's what we did. We just basically, you know, talked about the game. I didn't really – to hang out with him off the field or anything like that, but Wade had a couple good successful seasons, and you know, he's kind of like a bulldog on the mound, and you know, but Wade was a good guy as well.
Tim Redding.
I came when I first got to with the Astros. I was a 22-year-old senior sign when I got drafted at Long Beach State. I go to the New York Penn League, and I was only there for a couple weeks, and I started two games, and I think I only gave up like two hits, and quickly they promoted me to the Midwest League in Battle Creek, Michigan. And I get up there, and when you're a starting pitcher at that time, the 2 days prior to you starting, one day you're on the gun chart, the next day the day before you pitch, you're on a game chart, so you're in the stands in your street clothes. I saw Tim Redding throw, and I was on the game chart, and I was sitting next to the gun guy, and I just saw, who's this goofy-looking dude? He's from Rochester, New York. He's from upstate New York. And I'm like, man, he's not too big, but all of a sudden I'm seeing him throw his fastball, and he's popping the gun at 94, 95. And I'm like, shh, that's nice. And it looked nice and easy. Didn't look like it was max effort or anything. And Tim was just a upstate New Yorker with that New York accent and just a good guy all around. I still keep in touch with him as well. You know, there's one other guy that I got to play with, not in the big leagues, but on that same roster, that same year. I get up there, and I'm seeing Johan Santana throw a nice and easy 93-94 from the left side. And that year, Johan got Rule 5 to the Twins. The Astros didn't protect him on the 40-man roster, which I was like, what are they doing? This kid can pitch. And, you know, obviously he had a good, successful career with the Twins, if you guys recall Johan. But Roy Oswalt was on that staff too. So there was a lot of big leaguers on that roster when I got brought up to full season A-ball in Battle Creek, Michigan. And I'll never forget seeing that staff. I'm like, God, these guys can throw the rock. And here I am coming in with my 88 to 91 with some sink. And I'm like, damn, I can't throw 94 yet.
How about Jerome Robertson?
God bless his soul. I believe he passed away. He was riding in a motorcycle after his playing career, and you know, I lost contact with him before all that stuff happened. And free spirit lefty, you know, I never forget, he was our Sunday starter. And you know, I always remembered, you know, on the back end of a rotation, we're matching up with the other, you know, back end of the rotation of some guys. And our games, when he won, I believe 1 year he won, you might have the stats in front, but I think he won 10 plus games 1 year, 15 wins or 14 wins, but his ERA was sitting around 5. It's just because every time he pitched, he got some great run support. But he, you know, a win's a win. He would go six innings, seven innings, give up five, six runs, seven runs, and we'd win again 9-8, 9-7. But Mr. Robinson was a guy that also contributed, being a big lefty and, you know, throwing the rock as well. Good guy, really good guy.
Our guest has been Mr. Mike Gallo, who was a Major League Baseball pitcher from 2003 to 2006 with the Houston Astros. The time has flown. We'll have to have you come back, talk more about your career and your memories of teammates. What, you have such a wonderful personality, so joyful, and I know you're a wonderful father. I see you and your wonderful wife
children.
I know you're a really good family man. So, Mr. Gallo, do you have any final words tonight for our audience?
No, I mean, like I said, with the baseball world coming on, have me come back after the first couple month or two of the season. I can give you my ideas on what bullpen's going to be in the World Series, because bullpens win championships. The way starting pitching is happening today, you see it happen. If your starters go five, six innings, there barely do you see someone go complete games anymore. Some veterans might, but bottom line is, bullpens win championships, and I can't wait to talk about this year's bullpen. So blow me up and we'll talk, but I really appreciate the time you guys giving me. And you know, baseball is a good sport. It's just, I don't like all these rule changes. We have to talk about that one time too.
Sure. Well, wonderful. Yeah. I just admire your spirit, your joyful attitude, and so wonderful having you on. I'll contact you again and I'll send you a message about, I'd love to have Greg Zahn on. That's also, I'll send you a message. Thanks so much, Mike Gallo. Next week, we're going to have Bill North, the starting center fielder and leadoff hitter for the coolest MLB team of all time, the Oakland A's from the early 1970s. Dear listener, may the road rise to meet you. May the wind be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Good night, everybody. Thanks again so much, Mr. Mike Gallo. Thank you.